We're going to look at them today. We're in 2 Peter. I'd like for you to make your way over there. 2 Peter. When you get there, I want to tell you a story. Actually, I'm going to remind you of an old story. It's an old legend that goes back to the year 1284. It's called The Legend of the Rat Catcher. You probably heard of it as The Legend of the Pied Piper. 1284 AD, as the legend goes, the little town of Hamelin in Germany was overrun with rats. This is the Middle Ages. There's several variations to the story. It's kind of a gruesome story, actually. It's found in several of the old-time children's story books like Grimm's and Browning and so forth. But in the town of Hamelin, being overrun with rats being a major cause, as they didn't know then, perhaps, but maybe they had their suspicions of the plague, the bubonic plague that was sweeping across Europe. It caused an enormous problem in the city, as you might imagine, this enormous infestation of rats. I actually copied the Browning version of the children's book, and it said, "Rats. They fought the dogs and killed the cats. They bit the babies in the cradles and ate the cheeses from the vats. They licked the soup from the cook's own ladles, split open the kegs of salted sprats, made nests inside men's Sunday hats, and even spoiled the women's chats by drowning their speaking with shrieking and squeaking in 50 different sharps and flats." The rats were everywhere. In the story, it kind of reminds me of the plague of frogs. Remember in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, when God sent the plague of frogs upon Egypt, and the frogs were everywhere. Frogs were in people's beds and people's ovens and people's bed chambers, on their beds, on their persons. Well, apparently that's kind of the way the rats were in the legend. So there's this big town meeting. And in the town meeting, the mayor was in big trouble because he couldn't get rid of the rats. Nothing they tried worked, and they were going to strangle him, fire him, or all of the above, when a tap came on the door, and a fellow in a pied outfit — pied just means multicolored — a fellow came in and said, "I have the answer to all of your problems. I'll get rid of the rats with my magic flute. I'll play a song, the rats will follow me out of town, and you'll never see them again. All you have to do is pay me." And he gave them a price. At the time, Browning's story was 1,000 guilders, which was an enormous sum of money. But they said, "If you can get rid of these rats, we'll pay whatever you want." So 1,000 guilders was the price, and the rat catcher walked out of the building, picked up his magic flute, walked through every street of the town, and according to the legend, the rats came from everywhere and got behind him and danced. He walked up every street. The rats came from houses and buildings and barns and sewers and everywhere. The rats followed him, and he played his magic flute, marched out of town. The rats all followed, dancing rats all the way out of town, until he got to a big lake, river, pond, whichever version of the story you read, and all of the rats went into the lake and were drowned, everyone. And the town exploded in celebration. The rats were gone, people could resume their normal lives, business could resume, and everybody was happy until a rat catcher came for his fee. And when he said, "You know, you owe me 1,000 guilders," they said, "Well, you know, that's a lot of money. And when we made you that promise, you know, it was really only a joke. So I tell you what, the rats are all gone, so we appreciate that. Here's 50. Well, the rat catcher, according to the legend, was unhappy to say the least, and he threatened the town with, he said, you know, rats aren't the only thing I can draw with my flute. And they said, in effect, well, you know, do your worst. The rats are gone. We watched them all drown. What can you do? So he showed them what he could do. When they were all in this big religious meeting, according to the legend, the rat catcher took his flute, came back in town, and played his magic tune. And as he played, all the children of the town started to follow behind him, dancing as they went. And the children came from every house, from every place, and followed him all the way out of town. Now, in the Browning version, the children followed and danced just like the rats had done before, and the townspeople were paralyzed. They could do nothing. They couldn't stop them. All they could do was watch as all of the children of the entire city walked out of town, and as they got to the crest of a hill, the earth opened up in the Browning version, and everyone went in, 130 children, and they were never seen again. And, you know, while this is a very old legend, the city of Hameln in Germany still marks and has in plaques that on this day, June 26, 1284, 130 of our children disappeared and were never seen again. Now, since that time, other versions have popped up and said, well, they paid the money and the rat catcher came back with all the kids. But, you know, it's a rather gruesome story that actually parts of it continue today in our modern vocabulary. You know, we still say things like, you know, if you do that, you're going to have to pay the piper. You're going to have to pay the piper. You ever wonder where that expression comes from? Well, it goes all the way back to the legend of the Pied Piper in 1284, where paying the piper means you have to deal with the consequences of your actions. Consequences will come up. They will catch you. So all of our actions do have consequences, you know. You think that what we do doesn't affect anybody else, but actually what you do affects others. It affects those around you. Your actions affect your loved ones, your family, your workplace, your church family. It has far-reaching consequences. But paying the piper, that's interesting legend, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Today I want to talk about the Pied Pipers that people follow.
Amen.
And that there is a war to be waged. A few weeks ago, I shared on waging war. We must win the war against worries and fears. Win the war against worries and fears. I spoke about winning the war against prayerlessness. We must be a prayerful people. Today, I want to talk about winning the war against the Pied Pipers, of which there are many.
Amen.
There are many, many, many Pied Pipers. And right here in 2 Peter chapter 2, if you'll look there with me, beginning in verse 1, the Bible tells us, "But there were false prophets also among the people." There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, this is a warning to the church, right?
Amen.
There were false prophets in the old days. He says there's going to be false teachers among you who privately, the idea is cunningly, craftily, sometimes sneakily will bring in damnable heresies, the kind of beliefs, if you follow them, they can damn your soul to hell, even to the point of denying the Lord that bought them. Now, that's got to be some damnable heresy there if you get to denying the Lord himself. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And now verse 2, I want us to notice in particular. And many shall follow. And many shall follow. The Pied Pipers play their tune. They play their magic flute of whatever their rhetoric or their new revelation or some new prophecy or insight or whatever it may be, their own little take or twist on Scripture. They play their tune and notice, many shall follow. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious is an interesting word, King James, pernicious. It means immoral. It means sensual. It has to do with sexual freedom, I guess you could say. It means fleshly. It means evil. It means to be ruinous or dissolute. Actually, the word that's translated pernicious right here is translated destruction in verse 1. Notice where it says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. It's the same word. And in verse 3, where it says their judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not, it's the same word. Damnation, destruction, pernicious. It's because it's ruinous. That's what it leads to. Their ways are immoral. Immoral ways, ungodly ways, lead to destruction, ruin, and damnation. He says, they will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. He says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, feigned, made up, fabricated, plastus. It's where we get our word plastic. Feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, their damnation slumbers not. They will make merchandise. What does that mean? They'll exploit you. They'll take advantage of you. They are out to get your money, basically, out to get your money, out to get what you have, pernicious ways. Remember when the Lord said, Matthew chapter 7, you enter in at the straight gate, for broad is the way, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Amen. That word destruction, same word translated pernicious right here. The way that leads to destruction, it's a sinful way. It's a way of compromise with the world. It's the wide, broad road. Amen. You ever wonder if you've strayed from the straight and narrow? Look around you and see who's walking the road with you. Amen. See the company that you are keeping, and you can identify what road you're on. Because the worldly are not going to be on the narrow road. Those compromising with the Word of God, the way of God, the things of God, those who are compromising with God are not going to be on the straight and narrow road, at least not for long. They won't walk that way for long. They'll get off that way real quick because that they don't buy that. They're on the wide and broad road. And if your associations are men and women who are walking the wide and broad way, you're going the wrong way. You're with the wrong crowd. You're going the wrong way. And I want to repeat, there are a whole lot of Pied Pipers today. And they are leading multitudes astray in a multitude of ways. They're leading them to destruction. People are enamored by the tunes they play, by the things they say. They're enticed by the rhetoric. And look, this applies right here in the church, because remember, the warning we're reading is to the church. And the gullible or undiscerning, and they will follow any tune that seems pleasant in their eyes. And so if the tune is whispering of prosperity and success, of a way without trial, or a way without a cross, or a way without without dying to self and following Christ, it's back to the wide and broad road. He says, these false teachers, verse 1, will be among you. There shall be false teachers among you. That means right within the rank and file of Christianity. Amen. Doesn't necessarily mean in their particular congregation, but within the rank and file of Christianity itself, many false teachers, they're playing their magic flutes, and the Bible says many will be deceived. They will introduce doctrines that even deny the Lord that bought them. Amen. Denying the true Savior. Denying the truth of the Scripture. Can I remind us real quickly of a few other verses that say almost the same thing? If you're taking notes, I'll just give you a few verses that you can write down. 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, very clearly, very plainly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. The Bible says that they will speak lies and hypocrisy and have their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what it means? They don't care. They have no feeling. They have no feeling about you or anybody else. They think only of themselves, what they want, their desires, their pleasures, their pursuits. They are utterly and completely self-absorbed. But they're good at pretending. Another passage. You know, Paul warned about the false prophets and false teachers, those teaching doctrines of devils. John warns us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. He said, little children, it is the last time. And you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. There are many antichrists. In 1 John 4, 1, he gives us a warning that, I believe this is a passage of Scripture we should memorize, take to heart, where he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false prophets. Don't believe everything you hear. Right. If the Bible says it, then you believe it. Right. If what they're saying lines up with the Scriptures, praise God. But if it don't, you stay with the Scriptures. Right. Jude, half-brother of the Lord, says in Jude 1, verses 3 and 4, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now this is happening right now throughout the world, where there is a false grace message that I call it disgrace. It's a disgrace message because it condones living any kind of way you want. You can live in sexual fornication. You can live in immorality and feel no guilt, nor shame, nor condemnation, because it's all forgiven already, and you don't even have to repent about it. You can just live as you choose, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. As one commentator said, they teach that you have the freedom to fornicate, to live an immoral life, basically. Matthew 24, verse 11, remember the Lord's words. He said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, I want you're still right here in 2 Peter, right? Notice verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. Now, think about this. The way of truth will be evil spoken of. They will vilify the truth. Truth will be equated with something evil. Hate speech, for instance. The truth will be considered unloving, toxic, not gracious, intolerant of, you know, the current trends towards diversity and so forth. The truth will be evil spoken of. That's ripped right out of today's headlines, really. The truth will be evil spoken of. Old George Orwell wrote in 1948, when he wrote his book 1984. I don't know if you ever read 1984. I recommend you read it. It's a work of fiction, but it's prophetic. It's almost prophetic. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. That's pretty much where we are today. Hating those that speak it. I don't know. I've mentioned this before. I don't know if you remember. But, you know, recently California passed this bill, this resolution that actually blames Christians for the high suicide rate among the LGBT population. It actually puts the blame on Christians because Christians say that their life is immoral. And because of this intolerance, because of this hate speech by the Christians, that's why the LGBT community has such a high suicide rate. And they were talking especially about the transgendered suicide rate. You know, the transgender people, we need to pray for them. They have an extremely high rate of suicide and the highest rate of attempted suicides in the nation, especially among young male adolescents. But the entire LGBT community is riddled with guilt, but the transgenders in particular are guilt. But, you know, the fact is, we need to pray for them, really. They're unhappy in their own skin. That's the problem. They're unhappy in their own skin. They're not happy. The boy thinks he should be a girl. The girl thinks she should be a boy. It's confusion. It's a spirit of confusion. And it makes them depressed. And, you know, the sad thing is, if a young man thinks he's trapped in a man's body, but he's really a girl, no matter how many girls' clothes or garments he puts on, he's not a girl. And he knows he's not a girl. So he can take hormone replacements. He can even have the surgery that, you know, that. But, you know, in his DNA, in his biology, he is still a male. He's still a male. He's still not a female. And the problems remain, the inner turmoil, it remains, no matter if you get your male organs removed and you get breast from hormones, you still don't have a uterus. You're still not a female. You don't have female biology. Gender is immutable. Gender is immutable. You know, we talk in theology about God being immutable. He doesn't change. Well, gender is immutable in the fact that you can't change it. You can dress like the opposite sex, but you're not. You can have sex change surgery. You're still not that opposite sex. So the problem is they need Jesus. They need to come to terms with who they are and the oppression that needs to be cast out. But of course, if you say that, you're a hater, you're intolerant, you're a bigot, and you need to be silenced. The way of truth, the Bible says, will be evil spoken of. Actually, we don't hate transgendered people. I think we should have sympathy for them. They're miserable. They're unhappy. They need the Lord desperately, as does that entire community. They need the Lord desperately. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. What they need, they refuse. That's the problem. I want to make three or four statements today. I'll see if I can get through some of these things I want to say about the Pied Pipers. I think that that this will sort of capsulize the points that I want to make. First of all, not all the Pied Pipers are in the pulpits. Some are in politics. There are the Pied Pipers of politics. Now, I want you to think about this for a second, because a whole lot of people are dancing to their magic flute. They are dancing to the magic flute of the political promises of whatever the political party happens to be. There's an interesting passage right here in 2 Peter. It's still, you know, it's all dealing with the false teachers, the false prophets, their falsehoods, and it talks about the character of the false prophets. Down in verse 19, it speaks of them and says, they promised them liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. They promised them liberty. Actually, it means they promised them freedom, and most versions translate it that way. They promised them freedom. Well, in our modern times, what they promised them is free stuff. Not just freedom, but free stuff, you know. So the politicians are playing their magic flutes, and they want you to buy what they're selling. Just buy what they're selling. Can I tell you that people who are in prison cannot promise you freedom? People who are in bondage cannot give you liberty. And these people are bound up by their own lies and deceptions and delusions, and they certainly cannot bring freedom to you or me. I want you to know that your salvation is not in any political party. You and I have to beware of the Pied Piper of politics. And let me amend that. You have to beware the Pied Piper of angry politics. Amen. And then I ask you this question. Uh-huh. Have you ever known any politics that aren't angry? Because they're all angry. Everybody's angry. They're all angry at one another and angry at themselves and angry at their own party, but mostly angry at the opposite party. And can I tell you, it's real easy to get caught up in their rhetoric and find yourself dancing right behind them. As they play their magic tune, here's the Christians dancing behind the Pied Piper of politics. They're dancing to their tune. What's wrong with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Looking for our hope, our salvation, our deliverance in some political party or person. We've got to beware of following any of the political Pied Pipers. And they're all Pied Pipers. Amen. And they're all playing their magic flutes. It's very easy to get sucked in. Once you get sucked in, you're sucked into their anger. True. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, but Brother Rusty, you don't understand. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for the soul of this nation. I got news for you. You're in a battle for your soul. You're in a battle for your soul. And can I tell you that there's a God who is in charge? And your Bible actually says He rules over the kingdoms of men? Oh, what? He rules over the kingdoms of men, and He gives it to whoever He wants. Sometimes base men, base being, vile, ungodly. Not like we've never seen that in the politics before. God gives it to whoever He wants. Yes, it's a battle, and the battle is the Lord's, and we need to be on His side. That means we need to be praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, first of all, he says, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, presidents, vice presidents, senators, congressmen, governors, mayors, all the way down to the local community officials, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, whose will it is for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Your job, pray. Our responsibility, pray. Because can I tell you, politics don't win souls. The gospel wins souls. The gospel. You preach the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Don't you get sidetracked by the Pied Piper of politics. Stay focused on the gospel message. Not the rhetoric of the Republicans or the diatribes of the Democrats. We'll follow the gospel of the Savior. Amen. I want to talk about another statement about these Pied Pipers. Not only are we not to be seduced by the Pied Pipers of politics, but let us not be seduced by the Pied Pipers of academia. This would be the intelligentsia, the scholars, the professors in the universities who teach a godless evolution. They play their magic flute, and somehow magically nothing turned into everything. How did it happen? Magic. Had to be magic because it wasn't God. According to them, nothing turned into everything. Goo became you. First it went through the zoo. And then the goo became a zoo into you. Who knew? Who did it? Not God. It was Mother Nature did it. The universe did it. The magic flute did it. It was the magic flute. Atheism has devised this construct. Evolution is a construct. Construct, it means a theory unsupported by evidence. It's a view. It's an atheist construct where everything came from. They have no idea where it came from because they leave God out, so they make up stuff. And it's the magic flute is playing and it gets more bizarre all the time. Now they think it all came from aliens. Yeah. They believe that life, human life, with all of its incredible complexity, there's a complexity in life, not just human life, animal life, plant life, life in general, so complex that we haven't begun to really understand the complexities of it all. And how did all of this incredible design occur? Not with a designer. Oh, no. A design without designers. incredible complexity that just sprang from the magic flute. Of course, the idea is atheism. You know, when they play that tune in the universities, I want you to think about young people who are gullible and pliable, and they've never been taught much of anything at church. The few who attended church never were taught much of anything. And so they hear these educated people talking about there is no God. And that leaves you accountable to no one. You're just an animal like the other animals. You're going to live. You're going to die. You might as well have fun. It pretty much means anything goes, because you're not going to account for your life to any God. Now, if you're an 18-year-old with hormones raging, and you're just told, hey, you feel like it? Do it. There's no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no God to answer to. And so, how do you think they live? Wanton, lascivious. They dance to the tune of the Pied Piper. And where is it leading them? It's leading them to the pit. Leading millions into the pit. The undiscerning, the gullible, following the magic flute, dancing their way to hell, laughing, godless. What a tragedy. Amen. But then thirdly, I want to make a statement that not only are we not to follow the Pied Pipers of politics or the Pied Pipers of academia, I need to talk about what Peter is talking about here in our text, about the Pied Pipers behind the pulpits. In 2 Peter 2, you know, this is exactly what he's talking about, the Pied Pipers behind the pulpits. He says there were false prophets among the people. Now, the false prophets, these were religious leaders. He said, there shall be false teachers among you. They'll bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them. Bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. And, of course, I read quite a few other verses already that echo the same warnings. But you know, in this passage, the Bible talks about the fact that these men and women are deceivers. They are liars. They are seducers. They are connivers who will do anything to get their hands in your pocket. They'll make up stories. They have no conscience. Remember, their conscience is seared with a hot iron, so they'll tell you anything. They'll tell you anything. They'll lie to your face. They'll fabricate testimonies. Anything that'll get you to trust them or to dance to their tune, to listen to what they've got to say. They're people without morals, people without scruples, people without a conscience, people without convictions, people without a fear of God. Now, you can't pretend for very long. You know, it begins to show through. If these people speak for very long, you know, you get to know what's in their heart a little bit by the things that come out of their mouth. And so if you have a modicum of discernment, you'll begin to pick up that not all is kosher with these guys, whoever they may be. Look down with me to verse 9. Let's just read a little bit more about these folks. He talks about their character here. And the verses that we skipped actually speak about God's judgment upon Noah's world, that is, the violence, the wickedness. And it speaks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 6. how God made them an example to all those who would live afterwards, what would happen to the ungodly, Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered Lot, verse 7, whose soul was vexed by living in such a wicked place. He says in verse 8, if that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, just seeing how they lived, hearing what they said, if that vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, the Lord delivered Lot. He said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to deliver you and me, even in an ungodly world, and we do live in a very ungodly world. We too have our souls vexed by the ungodliness that surrounds us. But notice what he says. Excuse me. He also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But primarily, mostly, most of all, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Interesting terms, interesting words. Excuse me. He talks about them that walk after the flesh. Now, you know, it's a colorful expression. They walk. They are following after someone. You know, like the Lord told his disciples to come follow him. Well, these are men and women who are following after. They're walking after. They're pursuing a course. And what are they following? The lusts, the appetites of their own flesh. And the flesh here, sarx, is the word. It has to do with the carnal nature, what is ungodly, the ungodly. They are living a life pursuing ungodly lusts. In fact, most of the Greek scholars equate this with the homosexual lusts of the previous verses. That's particularly what they're mentioning there, those kinds of lusts that they pursue, that they follow after, that they won't be deterred from following. But notice what else they do. They despise government. Government being the word for authority or dominion or lordship. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They're rebels. That's the idea. They're anarchists. They rebel against all rule, all authority. Now, this would mean religious authority, God's authority, any government authority. They despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. These are arrogant, pompous. Self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Dignities is an interesting word, doxa. It's where we get things like doxology. It has to do with what should be respected and honored. And they are not afraid to speak evil. To speak evil, well, it means exactly that. The Greek word is blasphemo. They don't hesitate to blaspheme what they should honor or respect. Now, this is the culture you live in today. People have no respect for authority, and they are so quick to condemn, to criticize, to blaspheme, to slander, to falsely accuse, to speak so arrogantly about things they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And according to this passage, we should be afraid to live like that. We should be afraid to talk like that. But we Americans, bless God, we have the freedom of speech. And that means we can say what we want. And we do. And God help us on the day when we give account. Because he says that that's ungodly. That's what the Bible says. That is ungodly. Amen. Amen or God help us, one or the other. He says, whereas angels that are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, irrational, unreasoning animals, animals that only have one thing in mind, and that is gratify their appetite. That's just, whether it's the dogs in the neutral ground going after it, or wild animals devouring others, he's talking here about people like brute beasts made to be taken, captured, and destroyed. They speak evil, they blaspheme things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. These are vile, wicked people. They just live to gratify their own sexual appetites, depraved appetites, gluttony, lechery. Notice verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. These are lustful people, lustful, lecherous. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. These are Pied Pipers. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They're all about what's in it for me. They want... Listen. Cursed children who have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam, remember, he was in it for the money. He was a prophet, prophesied for money. He goes on and says, he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, empty promises, wells without water, clouds carried with a tempest. To whom? The midst of darkness is reserved forever. I mean, I could take the time to read the rest of this passage, but I think we get the idea of the character and nature of these Pied Pipers. You know, I was thinking just the other day, in 1974, Diane and I committed our lives to Christ. I grew up a Baptist boy. I knew what was right. I didn't do what was right, but I knew what was right. And even though I prayed prayers when I was young and asked for God's forgiveness, I mean, I even did things like dedicated my life to full-time Christian service at a kids' camp one time. I was probably 12 years old. But I lived like a devil. And I'm convinced that had I died when I was young, I'd have split hell wide open. But in 1974, Diane and I, both convicted of our sins, we asked for Christ's forgiveness. We received him as Lord and Savior. Prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1974, you know, that's 45 years ago. Wow. 45 years ago. And for at least 38 years, I've been in the ministry. I want to tell you, in 38 years of ministry, I have seen some crazy religious stuff. There's some crazy that you can't even hardly describe. But never, ever in my life do I remember there ever being so many Pied Pipers as there are today. I'm talking about religious Pied Pipers. Religious Pied Pipers. They're just crawling out the woodwork. They're like roaches in the dark. The cults have not gone away. The same cults that were around 40 years ago, they're still around today. The big ones, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, and so forth. They're out knocking on doors. And of course, nowadays, they've got many, many offshoots because they've split and fractured and duplicated themselves in many other ways. But the cults are still out there. The false world religions are still out there. They haven't gone away. You know, I'm talking about Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam and hundreds of other smaller world religions that they just keep putting on new clothes and rebranding themselves. You know, New Age religions, UFO religions, whether it's the Scientology and all these shamans and gurus and people channeling Hindu deities and channeling. Some of them say they channel Jesus and some say they channel UFO aliens and a dead ancestor. And people are crazy. Occultism is as dark and ungodly as it ever was. It's not going away. It thrives in every form and shape and shade, magic, all kinds of devilish things, including Satanism. Paganism continues to grow in America. Yeah. Diane and I tried to watch what we thought was a kid's show the other day. We turn it on, and the way it starts is they're doing some kind of magic incantation. They're calling on demons and calling on... You can't hardly watch anything. Paganism, you know, includes things like witchcraft, or what we'd call Wicca, any kind of, even the New Age religions, they're mostly pagan, like Native Indian, Native American religions and so forth. This is a form of nature worship, Mother Earth worship. But then, of course, right within the rank and file of Christianity, you've got things like legalism that continues to vacuum up those that are ungrounded in the Word of God and suck them into some kind of ritualistic practices and observance of Jewish rituals and rites, thinking that there's some merit in practicing Judaism, which the Bible told us it's done. It's done. Christ is the end. It's the completion. Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. The end of the law. What's the end mean? Oh, the end. That's right. That's it. It's over. It's the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. Of course, that says nothing for those that don't believe or nothing about those who are deceived into believing that there is merit to being a Jew. They're practicing Jewish practices, which the Bible says no. We pray for our Jewish friends because they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you got all of this other weird neo-Nazi hate religious groups, hate the white people, hate the black people, hate the brown people. I've never seen such gullibility in all of my life. Across the world and in America. I remember when people... We used to think the Moonies were nuts. Or the Hare Krishnas. Remember the Hare Krishnas? You know, they haven't gone away. They're growing. And there's more and more people who are claiming to be Jesus. I don't know how many of you saw the Charisma magazine article. It just came out this past week, but before I even mention this, you know what all of these myriads of religions and cults and false isms and schisms and so forth, you know what it means? People are empty. Amen. It means people are empty and they need They need God. They need Jesus, but they don't want to look to Jesus. They would rather follow some guru. How crazy can you be following some of these people? Let me tell you about what's going on right now. A very recent Charisma article, Charisma magazine article. They're not really known for being discerning, by the way. But in this particular case, they hit the nail on the head. Here's a guru in Sri Lanka, of all places, who takes a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of magic, a little bit of Bible, mixes it in with the Lord's Supper, and prophecy. They love the, you know, they love the prophetic revelation. Stir that up with a few vials of some New Age and paganism beliefs, and you come up with a religion. They call it WOW. Yeah. Stands for Works of Wonder. Works of Wonder. Here's a young guy. His name is Kirby Lenarol. He's a young guy. He's only in his 40s. He leads this WOW church in Sri Lanka that is absorbing everything. It's become so big that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches have associated with this guy. And he's nothing more than a charlatan. He's a guru. Listen to what he teaches. They claim that if you follow the WOW, you could have instant weight loss. Your gray hair will turn back to its, you know, normal color. Gold dust appears. Cash appears in your wallet. All supernatural. But his trademark doctrine is something called breatharianism. Breatharianism. I had, you know, the minute I read this, breatharians, this is a Hindu doctrine, by the way. It goes back for 1,000 years or more. Breatharians, the old devotees to Kali, Shiva, Rama. Let me tell you what these guys, many of them, promoted. That you don't have to eat. Food is unnecessary to breatharians. That you can breathe in the cosmic forces of the universe and get all the nutrients you need to live from the air. And from the sun. The sun, they're breatharians. So you can live without having to eat. Now, most breatharians die. Pretty quickly, I might add. Pretty quickly. But, you know, in Hinduism, they called it that, the breatharians, they called it you breathe in prana. Prana was the universal cosmic force of the universe. You know, it's inherent in Hinduism. Well, this preacher is preaching this. And so multitudes of his people begin practicing this, and they're losing weight. Yeah. Imagine that. You don't eat, you lose weight. But sooner or later, you die. You know, they had a guy back in the 1980s. I don't know if y'all remember this. His name was Wiley something. I think it was Wiley E. Coyote, maybe. No, I think it was Wiley Brooks or something along those lines. But this guy was on TV. This guy promoted this kind of stuff. And he had a big following in Los Angeles back in the 80s. A lot of people were, you know, yeah, California, wait, you lose weight if I go to your religion? I'm there, yeah, you just breathe in all the nutrients, you don't have to eat. And so he was doing really well until his adherents started dying. and then they caught him with a Big Mac and a Diet Coke. And then, yeah, that's actually the truth. You know, they interviewed the guy. They interviewed him, and they said, what's the deal? Here you are eating a quarter pounder with cheese and a Diet Coke. And here's what he said. He said, this is the only food that is not radioactive. Yeah. Not the Big Mac. It's got to be the quarter pounder with cheese. And the Diet Coke. Yep. True. Look, that's a true story. Yeah. And if you want some of his magic water, this guy's still alive. He'll sell it to you for $1,000. A little like this. $1,000. You don't have to be gullible to do that. Nah. But first you got to take his course on how to be immortal so you don't die. That's $1,000,000. Yeah, you're willing to pay that. Well, this fella that's over in Sri Lanka got invited to come speak at this charismatic church in the United States. Imagine that. Oh, yeah, so he's coming. I'm not going to tell you where it's at because I don't want y'all going over there. Think you're going to lose weight and live forever without getting old or whatever, but. Yeah, he's going to Missouri, and then he's going, I think, to Washington and something like that, but you know. He says an angel came, appeared to him, and reset his DNA and made his body immortal, and he can live without food. So he promises immortality on earth. You won't age. You won't die. Yeah. And people follow. People follow. Coming to America. On its way. Look, signs and wonders follow this guy's ministry. Or so they claim. Signs and you know what I did? I actually went on their church website. And if you go, which, you know, I don't recommend again that you do. But if you go on the WOW website, you will find that they have a statement of Christian faith that's almost kosher. I guarantee you the average person would read it and would say, these guys are Christians. They have all the trappings of Christian faith. They just don't teach Christianity. While they claim the Bible is the word of God and a rule of conduct, and so they've got the statement of faith. The trappings are a trap. Man, I wish I'd have thought of that. But sorry if I borrow it. The trappings are a trap. They might be lying about the magic water, about not having to eat. Because you know what scientists say. If you don't eat, you die. I think it's been proven, too. If you don't eat, you die. It's definitely repeatable, that's right. Well, the devil's busy. And the Pied Pipers are playing their tune. And they're everywhere. What'll preserve us in this last hour? Well, you and I have to be sticklers for the Word of God. We must be faithful, diligent in the Word of God. And stay with the Word of God. The Christ of the Bible, not some made-up Christ that they're teaching now that we stay with the Bible, and we stay with the whole Bible. And you know what? You have the genuine, authentic Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So even when you hear things that you may not immediately know exactly what's wrong with it, your Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit inside of you is sending you caution, little caution lights. It's that you know I need to be careful here. I need to be careful. You know, you look a little further. Here's the warnings. The Bible is very clear. The pipers are playing. People are dancing to their tunes. But according to the scriptures, their judgment now of a long time lingers not. That is, their time is running out, and their damnation slumbers not. It's going to roll upon them like a steamroller and crush them. Beloved, you and I are responsible to be diligent, faithful workmen, unashamed when the Lord comes, always discerning, always listen. Never turn your discernment off, never ever. I'm thankful that the Lord promises us that if we hold His hand, He'll never let go of ours. Praise God. Would you pray with me? Father, I do pray today that you would keep us close to your side. Lord, I pray for all of those who are trapped, who have been deceived, the multitudes, whether in cults or false religions of one kind or another, or just deceived by their own minds and their own wrong way of thinking. We pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel would shine through, would break these bondages, would open their hearts and minds and ears to your truth, and grant them, Lord, the grace of faith and repentance and true salvation. I pray, Lord, for this congregation, for all who hear. I pray, Lord, that you keep us, that you guide us, that you continue to equip us, and that you use us. Use us one and all to shine the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the simple gospel message. Use us, Lord, we pray, for your glory. Keep us, Lord, close to your side, we ask. And deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, from hearing, hearkening, or following any of the Pied Pipers that lead multitudes astray. This we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray it. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. You know, in the legend, of course, there's a couple of variations, but in the legend of the Pied Piper, there were three children who did not die. Of the 130 who disappeared, three did not. And you know who they were? One child was deaf, and he couldn't hear the enchanted music to follow it. One child was crippled, and so while he tried to follow the tune, he couldn't dance, and the crowd left him behind. And the other child was blind. And while he heard the tune, he couldn't quite find his way to where the crowd was going. So none of them, their handicaps, disabilities, were their salvation. Hey, I would equate it to us not dancing to the world's tune, you know. The world thinks that that something's wrong with you. What's the matter with you? Yeah. Yeah. So we follow a different drummer. We dance to a different tune. Praise God. Let's stand.